the opportunity to stream not only for Bethany, but for Evanswood. So welcome, Evanswood family. I know that Mark is away and many of the churches have been canceled, but I am grateful that John and Jim are here worshiping with you. And we're just going to celebrate God's grace and the opportunity to gather together. I'm delighted that we finally have our technology working okay so that we can stream. We're also hopefully streaming now to YouTube. So we're kind of expanding that horizon and glad that you're with us. Please watch and worship the Lord. And I just hope that you're comfortable in a place that where we can gather together. We're going to be reading from the scriptures. We're going to be celebrating God's word and a normal service for you. So sit back, relax, enjoy the service and worship the Lord and share the blessings of God. We're going to open the service today with a song and celebrate God's goodness. So whether you want to stand at home, whether you want to sit, whatever is comfortable for you, let's worship the Lord together. God, we are grateful that we can gather in your name. We're grateful, God, for technology allowing us the opportunity to celebrate. I'm thankful, God, for Evanswood joining us. I'm thankful for Bethany being together. And I just pray, God, that you will multiply the blessings. And I pray for Brent and Glenn as they celebrate at Hope Crossing this morning. I pray for Tom and his church and Mark as he is away. God, that you would just lift us up, that we may exalt our reigning God today. For you are in this place. And Father, we welcome your presence and give thanks to you for those that have driven, those that have gathered, and those that celebrate. May God, your safety be upon your people today. We praise you and thank you. In your holy name I ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, as we are seated and celebrate together, what's going on, John, in the life of the church? Women's Bible study. My understanding is now that they are going to Hope Crossing, they're going to be studying the women of the Bible. They're asking the women to gather and pick up a woman of the Bible, good or bad, that they like to talk about, and they're going to celebrate that. So if you'd like to join them, Women's Bible study at Hope Crossing on Tuesday evenings. Wednesday night dinner. We are gathering here Wednesday night, 5 o'clock. We are going to be having stuffed cabbage. We're going to have dessert and all kinds of things. And then we're going to gather in here for Habakkuk chapter 2. We're going to continue on. What we've been doing is looking at the scriptures and then diving into other passages that support that and talk about some of the things. Well, our key passage, Habakkuk chapter 2. The righteous will live by faith. So we want to keep that in our mind and understanding that the righteous will live by faith. So join us. Family game night. Evanswood is doing it once a month. The fourth Sunday of the month, they're gathering and celebrating. The next one will be February 23rd. Bring a game, bring fun, bring some snacks, and celebrate with them and spend some time just joining together and celebrating the goodness of people. Ladies' Tea at Hope Crossing, Saturday, March the 29th, coming up. 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock, featuring special guest, Ruth Jones. It's up there. Join them, ladies, for a time of tea and celebration. Daylight, Daughters of the King brunch. Oh, Brent is at Evanswood Church. They're doing Saturday, May the 10th. Guest speaker, Reverend Melissa Pratt. And what a dynamic speaker. If you want to hear the Word of God, join them, ladies, for that daylight of Daughters of the King special luncheon. It is at Evanswood. You will not go away disappointed, Reverend. Dr. Melissa Pratt is a wonderful speaker, dynamite voice, powerful Word of God. So join them. New Destiny Quartet coming up in the fall, Saturday, October the 2nd. We plan a concert here at 5:30 Saturday evening. We also are going to have them back Sunday morning to help us in worship. So admission, we're planning a new backpack or a gently used coat. Bethany is going to support the quartet being here. And we're asking for the community as we are partnering with Hope Crossing. And we're going to be celebrating a coat closet so that not only Hope Crossing, but Bethany can celebrate and give back to the community gently or new used coats. So if you have one and it's sitting in your closet, bring it on. Please celebrate BethanyChurchOfGod.org, our website. Also, Jim has been moving all of the information over there for our webpage from Facebook Live. We have the services. We also are celebrating today, and hopefully it's going. YouTube. So we're on Bethany Church of God page, and we are celebrating YouTube videos. So we're streaming both YouTube and Facebook. So we're getting the message out there. Thank the Lord for that. Other than that, those are the announcements in our time of prayer this morning. We want to continue to remember Suzanne, Shirley, who was in the hospital, Charlotte, who was at home, Roxanne recovering, Beth, who was recovering from her surgery, Kathy, who was in the hospital, and a multitude of needs that we have within our church. We just want to make sure in our time of prayer that we lift all of those up before the Lord. We're going to celebrate a couple of songs. I put together a melody of three songs, and the last one, I think, is a very familiar one, but we're going to worship the Lord. Whether you're standing, sitting at home, or here, let's worship the Lord together.
Thank you.
time. It's done in four-part harmony. Rejoice in the Lord in this song. As we prepare for a time of prayer, we are standing on holy ground.
We are standing on holy ground.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. The angels sang together, holy, Holy, holy is our Lord God Almighty. Father, we give praise to you today, no matter what we are going through, no matter where we are at, no matter what has taken in our life. Father, we give praise to you this morning. Whether I've got aches in my legs or aches in my shoulders, aches in my back, whether we're facing a physical ailment, let us praise you this morning, God. For we know that Paul said we're going to go through things. Father, we're going to go through circumstances that may not be comfortable, may not be best. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be pain in this body. But Father, you are still holy. God, we recognize that this morning. And with that same voice, Father, we call out, asking for the needs of our church. Father, I pray that your presence would be a charm this morning. Father, I don't know whether Suzanne is at home or still in the hospital, but I pray for a holy presence upon her and upon Louie. God, I pray for a holy presence upon Shirley. God, for the physical things that she's experiencing, the dementia, the vertigo, whatever's going on in her life, be with her. Father, be with Lori as she has gone through some surgery. Father, anoint her with healing and restoration. Be with Kathy as she's gone back into the hospital. Be with Steve, Father, and the family right now. Father, anoint them with your presence. I pray for continued healing upon Roxanne. I pray your blessings upon my lovely wife. Father, that even as she is home, recuperating, God, she's still suffering the aches and pains. Be upon her life and anoint that, Father. Give her peace to rest, God, and get the strength she needs. Be upon the family of God who are at home watching, Father, that your presence would be with them. Be with our friends, Father, not only in Kenya, but in Bungoma, Father, all over this great nation, in Tennessee and Kentucky, that are experiencing massive flooding. Father, oh God, have your way with the people of God. I pray for Chrissy. I pray for Debbie and Jack and our friends in South Carolina. I pray for those, John's own family, who is suffering from colds and influenza. I just pray, God, your anointing. Many of us, Father, are experiencing physical ailments. Father, we're experiencing the weight of this world upon our shoulders. Father, give us your presence this day. Lift us up, Father. Set us on that solid rock. For in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, and my song. Father, whether the churches are closed or whether they're open, God, may they experience the power of your anointing today. I pray for Mark, Father, and his family. Father, as they experience the loss of a loved one, surround them right now, God. Love them, hug them, hold them. As the tears fall and as they grieve, bless them, Father, with your presence. Father, I pray for your presence now upon each and every person who is watching. I thank you that technology allows me to celebrate with Evanswood. I pray, God, that you will bless the people of God. And together, we may experience your presence. Father, that is what we long for. That is what we hope for. And even in the midst of challenges, you are there, God. You are the hand we reach for to hold in the midst of the storms. You are the God we cling to. You are the rock on which we stand. Your name is a strong tower, God, and the righteous can run to it and find safety. Thank you, God, that we can gather today. Thank you for those who have braved the weather. Thank you for John working our sound and our technology in the back. Thank you, God, that we can stream and bless the Lord at all times. Father, may your words be upon our mouths. Father, if I've missed a prayer request this day, you know what they are. You know what we need, God, before we can even ask or think of it. Well, Father, we take a deep breath. Let it go. Dwell in your presence right now. Have your way this morning, God. Have your way. And I'll thank you. And I'll praise you. In your holy name I ask this. Celebrate this word today. John, if you want to pop that title up for me before I go. I noticed something very interesting in this passage, and we'll get to it in just a moment in Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. The last couple of weeks we've talked about letting go of things and letting the scriptures speak. And then last week this idea of being called. And I'm grateful I made my own coffee this morning. I missed my lovely wife with us. But you guys have left me to drink this whole pot of coffee myself, and I've done a good job at it. But I turned my attention to Luke and something very interesting in the text. And you'll notice that in the title. Some years ago, my lovely wife is all of 5'1" on a good day, tall at the best of days. And our son is about 6'2", tall on a regular day. Well, as luck would have it, he got a little mouthy one day with his mom, and which no child has ever done in the past. But on this day, it was enough, was enough. And mom, with one fatal hand, reached up and got hold of that tall lad, 6'2", all of them, got him by the earlobe and brought him down to eye level. And brought him down to a level in which mom could see him eye to eye. And she gave him an earful. And mom wanted him on the same level so she could relate and tell him something very important. Now, I'll leave that conversation aside of what took place. But she got him by the earlobe, and she brought him down to a level, eye to eye. Interesting in this text as we go on, this whole idea of on level ground. The scriptures today is found in Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 17, and we'll stand for the reading of God's word as we explore this passage. I'll have the words up on the screen that those with us can follow along. If you've got a Bible at home, turn there. We look at Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. He went down with them and stood on a level place. The title of the message is On Level Ground. Jesus went down from where he was at, stood in a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, though troubled by impure spirits, were cured. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured. And the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day. Leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated false prophets." May God be blessing you to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Jesus was going down and standing with them on a level place, something that signifies that he descended from a higher elevation, likely a mountain, to be physically accessible to the crowd on a flat surface. His desire was to meet people where they are and exactly what was taking place in their life, without any social or hierarchical distinction, equally making this message that important step. Jesus stood on a level place. As a God-centered movement of hope, he preached the Sermon on the Mount, on a plane that invites you and invites me to stand with him and to be amongst him on the same place. Now, there's something very interesting about that passage. that we talk about that Jesus meets you and I on level ground. Now, for many of us, throughout our call in our life, we have this presumption that Jesus is in a much higher place. Now, scriptures tell us that when Jesus was resurrected, he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He sends the Holy Spirit to meet us. But in this verse, something very interesting took place. I love how this passage begins. Now, if we read all of chapter 6, we see all of the things that have taken place. In the verses before this passage, Jesus has been up on the mountain, prayed all night long. When the sun comes up, he calls together his 12 followers and makes them apostles, or sends ones. Then he comes down to a level place and starts to teach them. He hasn't had breakfast yet. The people are gathering from all over the place just to hear him. They are coming from far away as Jerusalem in the south, Tyre and Sidon, which is on the Mediterranean coast. Several days of walking have brought Jews and Gentiles together to listen and to have Jesus teach them. Now, what's interesting about this passage, he's been on the mountainside. He has followed a protocol which is different from what many of us think about. Henry Nouwen suggests we tend to do things the other way around. If we have a problem or task, we try to go it alone. We try to solve it ourselves. If that fails, we might call a few friends. When all else fails, we put our hands together and pray. Notice this text. Jesus starts with the power of prayer. He then gathers his friends and goes to work. All of that work includes more than just talk. Luke writes, all of the crowds were trying to touch him, for the power came from him in Luke chapter 6, 19. Jesus doesn't try to get away from the crowd by getting into a boat this time. He's right in the middle of the crowd. He sends out that power and healing. He doesn't seem to care whether they're Jew or whether they're Gentile. He is now on level ground with them. The people are touching him. The people are pressing in around him. He doesn't push them away. He doesn't say to remove them. He doesn't remove his circumstances. He doesn't even know who is touching him. Maybe he does. Maybe in every instance, Jesus knows exactly who is being anointed, who is being healed. The point that we see in this passage is whether they are Jew or Gentile, whether they're bond or free, which Paul will talk about later, he is on level ground with the people of God. He is breaking the transitions. He is breaking the conceptions. He is breaking the thought patterns. And here, as he gathers with the Sermon on the Mount, very early in his ministry, he's calling those who are happy, those who are blessed, and he gathers them from rough places, from the mountaintops, to gather with the crowds together as one. Now, at first sounds, it sounds like Jesus has things a little backwards. As we see in the passage, you might think, well, that is a reversal in chapter 1. We might think of riches, food, prestige, that are all good for us, the source of woe and things, but let's look a little deeper, the blessings and woes. They all have things in common. Jesus not only shares with those that are present, but he shares with the future time. And he has come to gather with those, whether they're poor and hungry, sorrowful, or ridiculed, he has gathered with them in their presence. He loves them. He loves all of them. And he provides for them blessings. He provides food for the hungry and love for those who are not cared for. He announces the woe to those who are looking for fame and admiration, those who are looking for wealth and good food and popularity and the things of the world. You know, that's some of our attention today. We look for great things. We want to be fully satisfied, to have all of the food and the great things, which are, there's nothing wrong with. Jesus is looking for some who are self-centered. When we seek God and we have pain and sorrow, God feels for us. He feels for the people who are hurting. He stands for the injustices and affirms that every single one of us are worthy in his sight and that God loves us. When we are hungry, God sees that. When we want things, God fills it. Thus, Jesus comes to a place not above us, not below us, for right where we are. I thought that was so instrumental in the beginning of this passage as he teaches the people together. We get illustrations from Matthew and Mark and John. They point that Jesus is in a higher plane. But Luke, who brings us the Word of God, tells us that Jesus meets us right where we're at. And then, most interesting, is not only does he meet us on level ground, he brings together all walks. Notice in verse 17, a large crowd and a number of people. Notice that it was from Judea, Jerusalem. He's not only bringing from the north and the south, he's bringing them from the east and the west, Tyre and Sidon. All walks of people, Jews and Gentiles, have gathered together in one place to be together in worship. Wow! What would that be like for you and I? What would it be like one day to have a place where we all gather, whether we're Catholics, whether we're Presbyterian, whether we're Pentecostal, whether we're Church of God, whether we're brethren, it doesn't matter, that we could all gather together in one place in the presence of Almighty God. Wow, what a power to be together in all walks. Howard Rutledge, a pilot in the United States Air Force, was shot down and captured over a mission over North Vietnam. As a prisoner of war, he was held in solitary confinement for several years. Upon his release, he shared that during those prolonged periods of enforced reflection, it became so much easier to distinguish between the important and the trivial, the worthwhile and the wasteful. He remembered that before he had no use for the unseen matters, though his wife never gave up hope for him, as Rutledge lay confined in prison with the sights and sounds and smell of death all around him. His hunger for spiritual things soon outweighed his hunger for those things that had consumed him. In other words, his attention shifted from not so trivial things to the important things. He became curious about that part of him that would never die, with no Bible or teacher or pastor or community of faith upon which to rely on. He longed for a community of trust and love. We long to be together. He was impoverished and ready to be filled. That filling would come from the community, the faithful of those wanting and willing to be touched by Jesus. You have an individual that found the reality. It wasn't about the things of the world. It wasn't the fancy cars. It wasn't all of the nice clothes, the good shoes, the good food we eat. It was about community of faith. There's a song out now that I love to listen to. We need a little church today. And in speaking of church today, the writer of the song wasn't talking about we need a church building. He was saying we need a community of faith that we can gather together and hear Jesus. Knew that. He encountered people. This was his desire. This was the reality of what he was calling for, to break down the walls. John speaks of it very intently when he said, I have come that you might gather together and that we might be one. One like he is with the Father in John chapter 17. And he provides an encountering here early on in his ministry of people that long to be filled, long to be healed, long for change, long for hope, long for resurrection, longing for a new day, and he brought that hope to him. During his time in Judea and Jerusalem, there were religious and political centers of Jewish life, people from all of the areas well-versed in the laws and traditions. However, for Luke to mention the people of Tyre and Sidon is significant because these cities were predominantly Gentile. They were often seen as outsiders of the Jewish community. They were coastal cities where wealth and trade were well associated with pagan practices. But he gathered together people who needed to hear the Word of God. He gathered together people who needed a touch from the Almighty God. They were inclusive in their nature. Jesus didn't limit his ministry to one group of people. His message was meant for everyone. When he stepped into the crowds, he allowed the people to come together, and his presence was for everyone. The gathering of the crowd also demonstrates that Jesus wasn't just teaching for a select few. He chose the 12 disciples. He could have went away with them. He could have taught them singly about the message. and then sent them forth. He could have said, here's your pastors, let them go and teach you. He could have said, here's your prophets, let them go prophesy. Here is the people of God, let them go and deliver the word. Jesus didn't do that. He left it so that he could be with the people. He intended to teach the masses. God's desire was for everyone to hear the good news. Not only to hear it, but to experience his love and be transformed by his grace. That is why we come. That is why we find community. That is why we are filled. That is why we pray. That is why we find hope. That is why we find solace. And that is why we go and share the message. He still brings all the walks together. But notice in this text, not only is he bringing them together, there was power that flowed from them. I love that text. When he said in Luke chapter 6, 19, where all the people were trying to touch them as they knew the source of healing and hope. People were probably trying to touch Jesus because it works. The woman who with an issue of blood does so. She immediately felt herself healed in Mark chapter 5. She probably touched the fringe edge of Jesus' cloak. We see the similar power in the church today. People line up in streets trying to touch and catch Peter's shadow. In Ephesus, they learned that a piece of cloth that Paul had touched could heal the demon. There are many who send out prayer cloths today, knowing in the power that just touching that, God is able to heal and to deliver. Theologians debate how this power to heal was there. Is it his own power or was it the Holy Spirit? Jesus has gone through baptism. The Holy Spirit's already descended on him, and he begins to teach the people. He's gone through the mountaintop experience, and he's gathered with them. But apparently, even just laying a finger on Jesus, people were healed. The power of God was displayed in the life of Jesus. And what's even more interesting is the power flows from you and from me. God has given us that same authority. He said, you will go, and greater things than you will do than I have done. The power of God rests in you and me, and we can go and touch others, and they will be changed. Can you imagine if Jesus was to visit our towns today? Can you imagine if the word got, he's here, and he's healing every person as they approach him? Doctor hasn't been able to help with something that's battling COVID, a guaranteed healing and a special touch. We talk about it. We dream about it. We believe in it. Healing doesn't always come the way I want it. And that's the challenging part. Healing may not come exactly the way I want it or the way I believe it. But God provides healing to us. That at the power of God, who is there, God provides for us this power coming from him. It's coming constantly coming out of him. It emanates from him unceasingly. If we press him and touch into him, if we connect with the power, he heals us. He resurrects our souls and spirit, and Jesus makes us whole. He is our Emmanuel. God is with us, and he is here every moment. If you just reach out and expect in faith and touch him, what an amazing part of the story. He is on level ground, and the power emanates from him. Well, what it says is because the power flowed from him, we should rejoice because he knows our present state. What is summed up in this section and the following, the power of Jesus' healing, is the Sermon on the Plain or the Sermon on the Mount. Yes, this sermon surmises a twofold function. It encourages the faithful, tells those who are not living according to his word what might take place. But what is more important is he knows our present state. He knows what the future state will be, and he knows all things. He meets us on level ground. He brings together all walks. He endues the power which flows from him, that you and I, notice how the text flows. The power came from him. They touched him, and then he blesses those. He says, happy are we who go through life. Happy are we are poor. Happy are we hunger for now. Happy if we weep now. Happy if we exude when people hate us. For we will be blessed and will rejoice in the fact that God is with us. He contrasted the current expectations. And isn't that interesting in this passage that we learn the contrast, the dichotomies, that sometimes we must die to have life. Sometimes we must let go of things to live. we must be humble to be exalted. That dichotomy that Jesus teaches you and I. Of unexpected things, he mocks the world's value, that we might value his life and what he has brought to us. He turns down, overturns what the world is upside down thinking rather than right side up. Their perception of the kingdom of God. And then he plants right thinking in the lives of people. From a higher ground comes the calling to a level ground. I wonder today, where are you at in this walk? Is it time that you meet Jesus on a level ground? Is it time that you allow him to pour into your life? Is it time that Jesus grabs you by the earlobe and brings you down so that he can see you eye to eye? Is it time that we look him in the face and say, God, I need to let go. I need to touch you. I need to find you. I need to be healed by you. I need to be redeemed by you. I need to be on level ground with you. God, that you would anoint my life, that you would pour into me, that I might see you as a God of love. You know your present state today. No matter what the world tells you, no matter what you are facing, God knows where we're at today. And he is now, although he's seated at the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit is with us today. He knows exactly what we need. We're going to close this time together, and I'm grateful we can celebrate. Let's rejoice together in this closing song. Remember today, you're not walking this battle alone. You don't have to fight alone. You don't have to walk alone. You don't have to fear what's in front of you. He is with you today. Father, I just pray today that the people of God would hear that word. We're not fighting a battle alone. He's already won. I don't know what tomorrow may bring, but I know that He's going to walk with me and guide me. Father, I just pray today for the people of God that You will bless them, Father, that on level ground, You will give us the power of God, that we will fight against the principalities and powers, not against each other, that we'll rise up today and know the battle is already won. Bless us today, God, no matter what we face. In Your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome day. Go in this peace.